CliffCentral.com.
Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Bum, 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 bum. That's Bing Crosby, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So many awesome Christmas songs, and some of them that are annoying. But we like them, nonetheless. It's that time of year. All right. Just before 7 o'clock, Christmas Eve, the 24th of December. And there are lots of people who are getting ready. Apparently, the shops yesterday were just chaos. It's almost as bad as Black Friday.
Really?
Jeez, apparently. Yesterday was chaos. I went to one shop up the road, Gareth. I've never seen it so full. It was insane. I went to go get a bar of soap.
Right.
Literally. I don't know who still goes and buys that, but anyway, I ran out of soap. It took me 30 minutes.
Did you buy Lifebuoy?
You did, right?
I didn't, I like that you went there.
Lifebuoy. All right. Yeah, so you went there and
that
it was crazy.
That took me half an hour. Mm. Half an hour in the express.
To just buy a bar
in the
of soap.
Express lane.
No, dude. No, that's ridiculous.
30 minutes.
Stay away. If you haven't gone up to now, then just, you know, make it up.
Oh.
So I just want to say that... you know, with the holidays being on, I might be taking a nice break from social media. It's a good time to detox.
Mm.
It's a good time to not have to worry about other people on social media. It might be a good time to just spend quality time with the people you care about rather than the non-quality time with people you don't even know. And I know a lot of people who are taking this time to just get off of social media. So don't expect to hear too much from me until the 6th of January. If there is anything going on, it'll just be because it came up.
No, that's a good approach because you want to be around that positive energy. Yeah. It sounds like you've got the whole rugby team coming to your house, so that's going to be awesome.
Right. So I just want to quickly refer to something that Eddie Murphy did on Saturday Night Live, which is terrific. And he really had a go at Bill Cosby, which is hilarious because Bill Cosby had something to say about Eddie Murphy 30 years ago. That wasn't very flattering, and Eddie Murphy finally had his chance to get revenge. So listen to this. Here's Eddie, who's easily one of the greatest living comedians, and he's back. He's never lost it. He's always been one of the funniest people on earth, and here he is just slamming Bill Cosby into the ground.
You had told me 30 years ago that I would be this boring, stay-at-home, you know, house dad, and Bill Cosby would be in jail. Even I would have took that bet. Who is America's dad now?
Who is America's dad now? That's very, very good. Eddie on SNL.
Man, that's awesome.
He's terrific. Such a funny dude. Apparently, he just killed, and everybody was talking about how great he was. He did this Christmas skit, which I think a lot of people would have found funny. Listen to this quickly.
For the holidays.
And that goes for both of us.
How come your damn sister couldn't host?
Because my sister's house is a dump, Daniel.
Now I got to pay for all this damn food? Oh, hell no.
As I have always said, this house is happier when it's full.
Get out the bathroom!
Well, son, you and Donna have been such gracious hosts. I just hope I haven't been a nuisance.
Well, God, hell.
Air's so damn dry.
What are you talking about? We love having you here.
And of course, this is our first Christmas with our soon-to-be son-in-law, Matthew. When you two got engaged, all of us were just smiling from ear to ear.
Why? Why can't I marry him? Because he's white?
Yes!
Welcome to the family, Matthew.
You guys are being so racist.
Damn right we are!
No offense, Matthew.
None taken.
I'm just embarrassed we had to put you two on the air mattress.
Mom, for the last time, it's fine.
Yeah, it's actually super comfortable.
This sucks!
And then there's Brian, back from college. It sure is great to have my boy back home for a few weeks.
Feels good to be home, Dad.
I am pushing soap.
That's channel, Dad. It's not soap.
But channel is a soap.
No, I showed you this yesterday.
Just get your useless black ass out of here. I know how to do it. Just go. Go.
Stupid ass.
Son, come back in here.
Anything after getting hot?
Well, I just want to say that As you get older, it all goes that much quicker. And we should all cherish this time that we spend together as a family this Christmas. I know I will.
Oh, man. Eddie, anything he does is just too... He's just too good. He's too good. And he comes back with a couple of his old characters. He's just so great. And he was on there with Chris Rock. It's just amazing. Like, what a talented human being.
He's huge. I mean, Gareth, easily two of the funniest. I think Delirious might be the funniest stand-up I've ever seen. But then he came back with Raw. I don't know if you've seen both of these. If people haven't seen Eddie Murphy, Delirious, and Raw, there's a Christmas holiday hamper for you, I'm telling you.
Right. And he did say shit on live TV, which is something a lot of people think was very, very funny, only because Eddie's of that generation that didn't say that kind of thing on TV. So that's pretty hilarious too. All right, good. There's an update on SNL. What else do we need to know today?
Gareth, you need to know that 100... Peggy Cele, of course, the Honorable Brigitte.
Yeah, he's always got a hat on.
He's the height of ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Well, your police services are doing important work, apparently, Gareth. They have shut down 98 shebeens in Limpopo.
What else are people in Limpopo going to do?
Nothing. Just die of heat now. That's it. That's all there is. Eat mangoes.
It's depressing for the people of Limpopo.
So, here's what he's got to say. Mojalefa, Mojapelo, has said 29 licensed liquor premises were charged for non-compliance. The operation was conducted from last Wednesday until Sunday. I mean, they're undertaking an operation to go and shut down shebeens. Listen, there's very little stuff that happens at shebeens. Guys get way too drunk and nothing happens there. This is what you call a waste of resources, in my opinion, Gareth.
Do we need to shut down shebeens? I mean, this is just the opposite of Christmas. For so many people... Pinky, please, I mean, help me out with this, because I think this is terrible. For people who've got nothing to look forward to this Christmas except a visit to the shebeen.
Exactly.
How cruel of Becky
Taylor.
It's so
cruel. And so, Gareth, I grew up at a shebeen.
Right.
I'm a product of a shebeen.
There
and
we go.
Look where I am today.
And you've turned out just fine.
Exactly. So I don't think this should be happening. I know a couple of shebeens in Bloom, and I'm not looking forward to seeing Becky Taylor and his people just walking in.
No, I completely agree. So what do we do about this?
So I think, I don't know, he needs to be stopped.
We need to stop him in his tracks.
Yeah, we need to stop Becky Cele, and I'm ready to lead that movement.
Because he's going to ruin Christmas for a lot of families.
Yeah.
And there are young kids who will be hiding under the table while the adults get drunk.
Exactly.
Above, you know, and they drink stuff they shouldn't be drinking and smashing bottles over each other's heads. And, I mean, all the Christmas festivities.
He's going to ruin it.
There's nothing like that. Ding, 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 of bottles breaking on people's heads. But honestly, like, who are the government to get involved in this? Shebeens are in business.
Yeah.
The reason they work is, again, because there's a demand and they supply.
Mm-hmm.
And who else is going into the township selling booze?
Exactly.
No,
and
ridiculous.
I mean, they're being quite entrepreneurial, you know?
Yes. And they create a festive vibe.
Exactly.
Right. Don't understand this bloody government trying to control us. Good morning, Gareth. Thank you for an amazing year. Wishing you and the whole team a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Cannot wait to hear more Cliff Central in the new year. Regards, Josh Todes. Okay, thanks, Josh. Nice to hear from you.
Cheers, Josh.
All right, so besides that, we're going to talk in a little while to Jeremy Nell about the events of the year. We're going to talk about the rise of Boris Johnson, the Epstein scandal, R. Kelly, lots of interesting stuff. The college admissions scam, which you've probably forgotten about this year. What else have you got, Mbulelo?
Gareth, I think an important question to ask yourself is, and I'd love to know what you, Gareth, you, I mean, as an entrepreneur, you probably can't really answer this, but what do people do with their 13th checks? That's what I've always been interested
in. If they're even getting them, because we are in a slumped economy, there's not a lot going on, people don't necessarily get a guaranteed 13th check. In fact, I know most of the companies that I have friends working at, they didn't pay any extra bonuses this year.
Mm.
And really, you should only get a bonus if the company's done extremely well, right?
No, fair enough. So, and a sleigh queen is not something you can register to the taxpayer, people, before you give that as an answer. Because I know the guys that are rich enough to have gotten a 13th check, generally they're sending their side check to Dubai. So that is not something.
Oh.
I just wanted to...
Is that what you would spend yours on?
If I got a 13th check?
Yeah.
I'd probably upgrade my girlfriend. I told you, if I had a girlfriend, that's the first thing I'd always do. Upgrade.
So you haven't even got one, but you would upgrade her.
Yeah, if I got a 13th check, I'd get a girlfriend just to dump her, just so I could upgrade her.
This is like those people go, well, if I had 23 garages, these are the 23 cars I would have. You don't even have one. What do you got? You've got nothing.
Well, I would get the girlfriend.
I feel like you want a slay queen, hey?
Yeah, it sounds like you do.
No.
You desperately want a slay queen.
Let me tell you what I want. I want to be rich enough to have a slay queen. The option to have a slay queen. You know, if you're rich enough, then we can go from there. I'd love to have the type of money where a slay queen's an option.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get there. I don't know with that attitude.
Bang life boy, I mean.
Bang life boy soap. Right, exactly. Well, I think that it's probably a good idea for everybody to just take some stock. There are old people among us who also are, you know, not looking forward to Christmas. We've got to be careful because old people at Christmas time are a bit of a hazard.
Mm.
They sometimes set themselves on fire. They sometimes drink too much. They sometimes get in the way. They pass out and sleep in strange places. You've got to look out for the old people.
Just to finish off, Gareth, on that 13th check. So there is some good advice from an economist that suggests you limit what you spend to the first 10% of your bonus. So just a little reminder. I know, guys, we're going to go until the 67th of January. Keep that in mind. Hate to be the Grinch. But then you establish your priorities and spend the first 10% of your bonus. And that's it. That's what the economist that I'm reading here says is a good financial tip. Austerity, the measure of the day.
Yeah, I think also there's going to be some argument around the Christmas table. This always happens. People get together and someone in the family is politically opposed to the rest of the family. Someone in the family is very angry about something and they bring it to the table. And unfortunately, you also just have to hold back on entering those arguments. As much as you want to have some fun and you want to smack that idiot uncle of yours around a little bit because he's got dumb opinions, it's just not going to lead to a very pleasant Christmas dinner.
How does it get around your family table, Gareth? Is your family, because you've got a strong opinion, is the rest of the family like that?
I used to think that was important that I gave an opinion at the table. Now I just shut up and smile and say nice things. We are, I know that they were getting the food ready yesterday.
Mm.
I'm going to be eating myself to a standstill.
What do they say? Chicken's so good, you'll slap your mama.
Yeah, I don't like turkey. Nobody in our family really likes turkey. It's dry. It's not nice. It's not something we're used to, so we actually do chicken.
It's hard to cook.
Yeah, but you want to also keep Christmas Day lunch and even Christmas Eve dinner. It's probably better if it's cold.
Ah.
If you do the hot dinners or the hot lunches,
yeah,
it's just so hot already. It's maybe better to have cold meats and that kind of thing. So we have a different sort of menu, I suppose, because we're in South Africa, right?
Yeah. Oh, fair point. You said the cooking's coming along. I'm pretty interested in who you said your sister does the cooking?
No, she doesn't.
No, is it the brother-in-law?
Brother-in-law. Well, my sister's boyfriend and my mom and my dad, principally. If my sister and I were stuck for Christmas and none of them were alive or they were away, we wouldn't know what the hell to do. We'd probably have to make sandwiches.
Or like a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, I don't even think we could do that properly. So here's Riette, who says her 13th check goes directly to her daughter's studies. So there, no slay queens or slay kings for
me. Excellent, Riette. Excellent. That's the type of friends you need.
Is it?
Yeah, for sure. Riette keeps it real.
She's thoughtful and smart about her money.
Yeah.
She's very organized.
And cares about her daughter, which is nice.
But if you could go anywhere for Christmas, for the holidays, where would you go? Would you like to go into a cold place or a warm place?
So, Gareth, I love mountains, and I would go skiing. My favorite ski resort in the world, I worked in Canada. I did in Whistler. So I'd go there. Oh, yeah. I absolutely love snowboarding, yeah.
It's funny, a friend of mine who lives in Alberta, he sent me a picture of him and his kid, and they're in the mountains skiing at the moment. I was a little bit jealous. Woke up to that this morning.
Oh, Whistler, Canada, special. Gareth, if you haven't been there, I would highly, highly recommend that as a holiday for anybody who can afford it. It's incredible.
Hey, Riette, I'm just looking at your messages here. This is the Riette who told us she's not going to spend any money on sleigh kings and queens. You told us you were going to Sandy Bay for the whole weekend, remember? You were getting your no tan lines on. You were doing nude sunbathing. So I still want to report back on that. I don't know how that went. How do these nude beaches work? It's always something fascinating to me because as far as I haven't had experience of a nude beach. But as far as I know, it's mostly old people who go and lie there. And it's not like you see the best-looking people from Instagram on these nude beaches. Am I right?
You're absolutely dead right.
You've been?
I have. I've been to a few nude beaches, actually.
God, you really have experienced a lot. Pinky, you ever been to a nude beach?
I haven't been, hey?
No. Would you go?
No.
No, me neither.
If Mbulela's going there, then I'm not.
Yeah, if Mbulela's there, we need to stay the hell away. It'd be so awkward, though, if you did meet someone from work on the nude beach. Imagine that. You're, like, walking around with everything hanging out, and you... Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. See ya?
Like the head of HR. Hello, yeah. Steven. Did you get my leave form?
Yeah. Oh, you're on holiday. Yes, that's right. I signed your leave form last week. By the way,
yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah, we'll rework a new package for you for next year. Sorry, what's that? A nice package.
Yeah.
Which one did you go to, Mbulelo?
So I've been to Sandy Bay, and then I went somewhere where the British like to go, Mallorca. I've been to Mallorca. Mallorca, they love a bit of that.
Yeah?
Gareth, yeah, a bit of new duty. Love a bit
of
that.
Oh, God, Mallorca.
Mallorca.
But are the people there any better looking?
No, they're not. It's usually fat British people.
Yeah.
Yeah, all good-looking Spaniards don't go to nudist beaches.
That's also why Sandy Bay just doesn't... I'm not excited to ever go there.
I like to take the chance in case... So, you, like I said, Sandy Bay is obviously by Llandudno, which is prime. I mean, you're talking 30, 40 million rand houses.
You were talking the other day about how all these celebrities go there.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to maybe meet a sugar mommy. I told you my dream to be a stay-at-home dad.
How do you get to Sandy Bay?
So there's two options. You can go from Llandudno. So Llandudno has one entrance in, one entrance out. So it's between Hout Bay, as you're kind of leaving that, you know, that windy road coming from Camps Bay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the first right after you come around there.
And you go down into Llandudno.
You go down into Llandudno, and you've got
no space there.
No, there's no. But you just walk down. So Llandudno's tiny.
Okay, and then what? You walk across to Sandy Bay near there?
You walk, there's like a little trail for a bit, and then, it's about a 15-minute walk.
At which point do you take off your clothes?
Well, when you get there.
Wait, like in the car?
You walk all the way down the road with nothing on.
Although some people do that. There's people comfortable enough, like my friend who lives there. He's comfortable enough to just do his thing from his house. It's about 2 km to the starting point of the trail.
He walks the two?
In his birthday suit.
Now, you see, that's also... Surely the nude beach is the only place you're allowed to be nude. Otherwise, it's public indecency. I mean, Pinky's our lawyer. You can check on that.
Yeah.
Sandile says, my 13th check usually goes straight to my credit card, but with the economy being so bad, we didn't get one this year.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Hate to hear it.
The point of a nude beach is to be naked, not to watch people, you creepy shits. That's a bit of an admonishment from Hermine.
I'm with Hermine there.
All right. Calm down, Hermine. There's no need for you to get all tense. But I don't want to be naked around people I don't find attractive.
Hermine, I'm with you.
Okay. So we've got nude beaches. We've got people who like to go into the mountains. Also people who like to just hang around the house for Christmas. I must be honest with you. I don't really like to go away for Christmas. I don't mind going away after or before, but for Christmas itself, I do like to be at home.
So what are you going to do in between Christmas? I mean, you've raised a great question.
I haven't decided. I honestly don't know.
Otherwise, Gareth, you're just going to do nothing, and then that's no good.
No, it might just be exactly what I want.
Oh, do what? Doing nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't have... there's no agenda, you know?
Yeah.
It means there's no pressure. All right, let me see what's going on Twitter just before we get out of social media for the next while. any interesting books that people need to read? Do you do that over the holidays? Some people put aside a few things that they want to read, movies that they want to see. I'm going to be watching, let me think. In fact, there is a series that I've just put together in my list of things I need to look at. I'll tell you what it is. The Mandalorian,
okay.
Which I'm kind of making my way through. The new Rick and Morty, which I'm very excited about.
Great show.
Yes. So those are two things on my agenda. And then I do have a few books that I want to look at too. But there's some stuff that's going on that might be interesting, just from the point of 12 things that you might have noticed about today. Apparently, they are building a cathedral in Iraq's largest Christian town, which is interesting news. The world's largest menorah in New York City is to shine brighter in Hanukkah. That's from the New York Daily News. U.S. foster care problems have led kids to prison and homelessness. So foster care not necessarily providing the solution some people should think it does. These are, by the way, some headlines that are coming out of America at the moment. And the world. Stories of older children who finally found their forever home. Five things about adoption that you should know. These are stories that you can get on the National Review. Interesting stuff because it's mostly positive news. It's about, you know, Israel reversing a ban on Gaza Christians. You can visit the Christmas sites. Mm-hmm. Medical discoveries about pregnancy that could shed light on all kinds of interesting historical events. And there's just plenty of interesting info going on out there. So if you are reading anything exciting over the holidays, you might want to let the rest of us know so that we can get our own book list in order. I know that one of the books I recommended to someone, kind of an obvious one, was Yuval Noah Harari's Sapiens.
Mm-hmm. Good book.
And I'm going to be paying attention to the 21 things, I think 21 rules or 21 tips for the 21st century, whatever it's called. That's one of the books I'm going to be looking at. Uh-huh. It's also by him.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely look out for that. I hadn't seen it, but Sapiens is spectacular if you have not read it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Whether you agree or disagree, it does expand your notion of what you believe. So you should always be reading stuff that challenges.
Here's a nice story. In the spirit of Christmas, apparently South Africans are sparing more than just their change for those who are less fortunate. Many are taking part in a challenge that was started on the I'm Staying Facebook page, which is calling on people to tip not just the usual 10% of their bill, but instead to give them a generous 100% tip. So in other words, if you buy dinner and dinner costs 400 Rand, you should give a 400 Rand tip to your waiter. It's part of some challenge that's going on at the moment, and apparently it's taking off.
Wow.
Sharing their good deeds on social media, some people ran up bills of over 1,500 Rand and matched the amount with tips. Others posted bills for less than 100 Rand after simply dashing out for a quick coffee or snack, but also decided to do it. One of those who took up the challenge was someone called Linda Bruce, who says she was moved by her waitress's reaction when she saw the 231 Rand 60 tip that she had left her. My waitress was totally taken aback and could not stop smiling. See, this is a nice thing to do for Christmas.
Like you said yesterday, it's great this time of year, no matter how grinchy you are, is it compels us, you know, it creates a spirit of being nice to one another. And that's so awesome, man. South Africans, you know, it's not all bad news.
Another former waitress, Jade Kutsia, shared how much such a gesture meant to those on the receiving end. I'm convinced that working in retail, especially as a server or a waiter, is the most underappreciated job. People undermine your intelligence. They're extremely rude to you at times, and most of the time they think that you'll never become anything because of where you are now. We depend on tips. We don't ever expect 100% tip. You can ask any waiter. Their only goal is to reach 10% from every table they serve. Mm. I'm not a waiter anymore, but I'm still in the industry. I was so overwhelmed and ecstatic that there were fellow stayers in the shop last night. I didn't get your names, but I want to thank you guys. The reason you gave me to stay and trust me, Lee was almost in tears from the gratefulness for your generosity, which is a reason that we're happy to stay. I suppose a lot of people also want to eat out for Christmas.
Sure.
And that means that there are people working in those places that you're eating out at and not spending that time with their families.
Yeah.
So I would assume it would probably be appropriate there to give a decent fat tip to those people.
We can add to our list of what to do with your 13th check. Maybe spread a little love to the guys and the girls that serve you the Christmas period. While we're on that good news tip, Gareth,
mm-hmm.
One of the coolest stories this year was when Shaw Majorzy went to Kelly Clarkson's show. Did you ever see that clip?
Absolutely.
And she, of course, that I don't know if you discussed it, where she kind of did the John Cena. I mean, John Cena, her song took off. It went mental.
Yeah, yeah.
And then John Cena came out. So whilst we were on that...
While she was performing.
Yeah, while she was performing, she wasn't expecting it. And she just went absolutely berserk. I think that's one of the coolest stories. And she's just big energy, right?
Yep.
She's big energy. And she's
for sure.
She's a South African to the core, as South African can be. So one of the real feel-good stories for the year, if you haven't seen it. There's lots of young kids at the moment getting colorful braids. just to look like her. So that's really, really cool. I love a feel good story, and especially when somebody, she's just herself, you know, she's not trying to put on an image. She's a gussy girl and she's being real with it. And I love that about her. So feel good story. And she's gone international, by the way. Her song has gone huge. West Africa loves her.
That's very good news.
Yeah.
There's another export of ours that's working.
Absolutely.
We mentioned this yesterday in the news, but it's worth sparing a thought at Christmas time for the Australians who are going through all kinds of hell. It literally is hell there at the moment. It's a big tinderbox and it's on fire and these fires are raging. And there are unpaid firefighters who have stopped their ordinary lives to battle the nation's raging fire crisis. For weeks, the 22-year-old landscaper in question, a guy called Daniel Knox, has lived around his phone, springing into action when called upon. He's part of the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, which calls itself the world's largest volunteer firefighting organization. It has 70,000 members that are extensively trained, and except for a few senior staff, are mostly unpaid.
Wow.
And they go around fighting fires. And he bonded with some other guys in the area and decided he was going to go and volunteer his services. So, you know, there are people who are doing hard work over Christmas too. We always talk about the doctors and the nurses. I don't know that we think about them until we need them. But there are doctors, policemen, you know, firemen, those kind of people who are working hard through the holidays. In fact, I got a message to that effect just a little bit earlier, which is probably worth reflecting on for a second. Dr. Robin, who we know will be working, she says, Merry Christmas. Here's hoping for good digestion, awesome presents, and no family feuds. If there is a feud, I'm voting for a duel to settle the matter. Enjoy your break. Looking forward to next year and becoming even more well-informed. That's from Dr. Robin. And some other people saying, for all those people who are working, you're not alone. There are some very important people who are doing very important work right now. So if you are working hard over the holidays, thank you. Does anyone miss Sia? That is a question from Kopano. Well, yes, actually, because we called Sia this morning. Bulela was too stupid to figure something out in the studio, so he had to call Sia.
Yep, that's it. I needed him.
Did you wake him up?
No, Sia was ready, and he was at the march, and he was ready to pull the trigger, so he delivered. Unlike the ANC, he delivered.
What else is going on?
What else is going on there, Gareth?
Well, I've got a story about something from Star Wars. I said I mentioned that the other day, which I didn't even notice in the movie, but it's probably worth reflecting on. Disney cut a brief scene of two women kissing in the Singaporean version of the latest Star Wars film. Now, I didn't even see this happen, but apparently somewhere at the end of the movie, when everybody's celebrating, two women give each other a kiss. It's the first same-sex kiss in the franchise's history. It's described by reviewers as a brief flash of two women kissing among a crowd of characters. So what? You know?
What did the letter people have to say? Did they rage about it?
You mean the
LGBTQ
people who write letters? Yeah. No. I don't know. Apparently, in Singapore, though, this is outrageous, and two women kissing is just not allowed.
It's madness.
Yeah, but it's also shouldn't be a big deal.
No.
The more of a big deal you make about it, the worse it's going to be.
Like, are we back in the dark ages? Two women kissing is not a real thing, guys. That's not a problem. Fires in Australia are a problem.
Well, hey, Gareth and team, there's a new series on Netflix called The Witcher. Ah, okay.
Mm.
I have something to say about this, but let's finish with a message. Not the most in-depth series. Hang on a second. I've just lost the message. God, how irritating. Hang on. Sorry about this. New series called The Witcher. Not the most in-depth series, but it's entertaining as hell, especially if you enjoy the likes of Lord of the Rings. I binged this series in one day. Wishing you happy Christmas and Merry New Year. Thank you for the year's entertainment. And that comes from Andre. Well, thank you, Andre. Actually, my sister and her boyfriend were watching this Witcher, and I saw an episode of it. It's okay. I find it's like a little bit... It's shallow. It's not a lot going on there. There's a lot of bullshit, rhetorical language. It's not my kind of show. I'd like a little more depth. And there isn't any.
On Witcher?
Yeah, it's like monsters and you know, Henry Cavill, who talks in this monotone the whole time, just like this. It's very boring. All he says is the same thing in the same tone, no matter what happens. I know that's apparently what the character's meant to be like, but I've never read any of these things. So I'm unfamiliar. I'm coming in cold.
Gareth, you know what we're going to do next year? Some movie reviews from Gareth Cliff. You give brutal movie reviews.
Yeah, it's The Witch is not... I'm not going to watch any more of it. That I can promise you. Nick says, I've been to Sandy Bay a few times, only because there are a few great hikes that start from there. So I was in my hiking clothes. There were mainly old people, but there was one pair of buff, good-looking gay men. But all I thought was how sore your penis must be if it gets sunburnt. Good point, Nick.
Fair enough.
Thought
Nick.
About that.
Fair enough.
Oh. Okay. I think Sia should be giving us a diary of Aunt Tabitha's holiday on a daily basis.
Solid stuff. We'll see if we can get that for the early new year.
We'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, we'll chat to him.
So, other stuff that's happening that you might want to be paying attention to. And there's lots of news from a South African point of view, but most of it is really stuff that is just ongoing, and most of the newsrooms are quite quiet. Fees Must Fall activist Kanye Kekeshe, was released from prison. I don't even know who this guy is, to be honest, but he's spending Christmas at home with his much-anticipated release from prison. Early Tuesday morning, the parole board, who's considering Fees Must Fall, have decided that he should be released. South Africa is experiencing a cloudy Christmas, rainfall in the Free State. That's what you've got to look forward to, Pinky.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that.
And every day is the same. Christmas or not, it's the same to us, so no celebration for Kliptown's homeless people. And they put that in the newspaper just to make the rest of us feel guilty.
Nah.
Thanks very much. Lindiwe Sisulu is battling for power. Jobs for Pals claims and a 45 million rand tender are in her way. Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation Minister Lindiwe Sisulu's instruction that communications budget be centralized in her office has raised eyebrows among disgruntled senior managers who are suspicious that the intention is to use public money to fund her future political ambitions in the ANC. City Press has learnt that Sisulu held a meeting with communications team in Cape Town where she complained about the failures of the communications directorate over the past 6 months, particularly the hostile and insubordinate conduct of the chief director in charge, Jules Nale. Among the requests that the minister made during the meeting was that the communications budget be centralized in the ministry. So she's trying to take control.
Don't trust her.
You don't?
I don't trust any of them with money, Gareth.
The politicians in general or just her?
I can't speak to world politicians. I don't trust politicians in general, but our politicians must not be trusted with a cent of our money. Not a cent. They have shown that they are bloody crooks. They're a lot of them, bunch of losers.
Right. Okay, well, there are some other things that we can get to in a second, but we are going to speak to Jeremy Nell, and we'll find out what he's been up to and what he thinks of the past year. Talk a little bit about that. Here are some more messages that have come through. Have you seen that Star Wars was really disappointing to some people? I'm staying away from the negative this festive season. Yeah, there are lots of people, and my brother and I had this conversation because he's also a big Star Wars fan. There are lots of people who say, just enjoy the movie. There's no need for you to complain. And then there are the hardcore fans, the diehards, who are like, this is shitting all over George Lucas's legacy. And I don't know. I mean, I do think that The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi were pretty crap. And I think that's mostly what people think. At the moment, that's kind of the consensus. And this one, the jury's still out. I enjoyed it, huh? For whatever it's worth, I really enjoyed it. Have a great break and be safe, team. I'd love to be Cliff Central's movie reviewer. Be gruelingly honest. Well, maybe we'll give you a job next year. That's Ruth. And a comment here from MK who says, I once went to Sandy Bay and saw a guy that was a customer of mine when I was a waitress. He called me over to chat. His legs were wide open and the sad piece of driftwood was the only thing I could see, no matter how I tried not to look. Sure, Michelle. That sounds horrendous. And the new Apple TV series, The Morning Show, with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell, is apparently brilliant. Well, maybe I should watch that. I saw the billboards for it when I was in New York, but to be honest, I wouldn't even know where to get it. How do you find the Apple Plus stuff? Morning, guys, girls, and non-binary individuals. What a year it has been. I want to thank each and every one of you for an excellent show that you either scared me shitless, Wayne Duvenario, Ted Blum, Jonathan Witt, and Concrete Dustbins, or that made me laugh uncontrollably, Leanne, Ben, Gord, Gareth. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and extra stomach room for the 7th drumstick. All the best. That's from Adrian this morning. Isn't that nice? Yeah. So Ruth agrees with me on Star Wars, but I really don't. I think that the biggest problem is that Star Wars were trying also to be as woke as possible instead of just telling great stories. They're trying to cater to like a woke generation, a woke audience who aren't actually interested in Star Wars. So maybe that's something to consider. All right, on the line, we've got Jeremy Nell. How are you, Germ? Nice to speak to you, dude.
Hey, how's it going? How are you, man?
You good?
I am so good. I apologize for the noise in the background. I'm with family in Neisner, but I'm sure you'll forgive us since it's Christmas.
No problem at all. And your family aren't that noisy. I can hardly hear them.
Ah, fantastic stuff. I'm sitting outside looking at the lagoon. I hope you're very jealous.
Yes, I am. I'm not going away this Christmas at all, but it was a decision I made, and it was a conscious decision, and I'm glad I'm not wasting money and wasting time. So what's going on in Neisner?
Depends on what you mean. If you are speaking about the typical Christmas vibe, then it's ridiculous. It's the whole of Joburg is here. but if you are clever, you can avoid Joburg and you can you can stay out of reach, which is exactly what we're doing.
Do you guys just hang around the house at Christmas and eat a lot and do what most people do?
We're in a little house here that's on the water, and we've got all our supplies inside, and we've got our underground bunker so we can avoid GP.
Now, you're well known to most of us as a cartoonist. You've also recently started doing a bunch of really interesting stuff with your YouTube channel, and you've been creating lots of online content, which I think a fair number of people are enjoying. There are lots of critics as well, but we'll worry about that in the new year. Right now, I want to have your thoughts on what the biggest events of this year have been. It's always useful to do a bit of a retrospective on the year.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's been an amazing year.
Really? You're happy with 2019?
I'm very happy. I think it was an amazing year. I think Boris Johnson was an outstanding victory, but not for the reasons I think that most people would like. I'm just loving the fact that that the regressive left is turning on its head. I'm not terribly interested in the politics. In the sort of minor politics, this is a culture war, Gareth. This isn't a political war that we're in, and I think you'll probably agree. Again, it's the same thing with Trump. The fact that he's been impeached is a brilliant, brilliant PR campaign for his landslide victory. I think in 2020. Don't you agree?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Democrats have miscalculated horribly on this front, and I didn't want to spend too much time during this year worrying about politics, particularly politics that don't affect us directly. But I think that there is a narrative that's been put out there, and that the public opinion is turned more or less against. And it's something we've been suffering with in this country for a while too. You know, a very small fringe group of woke activists have been directing the narrative for everyone else. And the fact that they have very little support, and the fact that they're mostly noisemakers without a huge amount of first of all, consideration, thoughtfulness, depth of argument or any of that stuff on their side. The fact that all of that, in addition to popular opinion turning against them largely this year, has made it an interesting year for an observer. And I think that probably things are just coming back into balance.
I had Peter Boghossian on my show. I know he was on your show, I think, also a few weeks back, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And he made a very succinct point. He said that the woke, and they are a minority, but they're an incredibly vocal minority. He says they've rigged the game. He said they've infiltrated the important areas like academia corporate. And although they're a minority, they are very influential in their vocalness, in how loud they are.
Well, they've got lots of people fired. They've got lots of people shut down. They've cut many people out of the...
Look what happened with Canton.
Yeah, what is your take on that?
To be very honest, I don't know, because he's been very quiet. I think it was a disgrace that ENCA caved to sort of the woke Twitter crowd. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened internally, but I have a suspicion that that Canton has been unfairly maligned. Yeah, that's what I think. Because the moment the woke critic crowd get completely outraged, then I start getting very suspicious. The same thing happened with me with last year with Outer, where Outer caved to the crowd and they caved and they didn't even bother looking at reality or the facts, and they just decided to go with a bunch of online trolls, which is precisely what happened here. I mean, the guy resigned at the end of the day, Gareth. He resigned. He didn't want to work there anymore. Now suddenly people are acting morally superior. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Do you think that this is going to change anytime soon? Because we see a lot of things starting to move back into balance. I mean, the fact that a bunch of people on social media ought to control whether or not someone works, the quality of their work suddenly doesn't matter. Whether or not they're any good at it doesn't matter. Whether or not they manage people well or do not doesn't seem to matter. It's all about the opinion of a handful, really, of people on social media. Do you think that that's right? And I'm not referring specifically to Canton's example, but we've seen this over and over again in various places and in various companies and at various times with all kinds of people on all sorts of platforms, by the way. So in retail, we've seen it in communications businesses. So it doesn't really count the same in every single case. And I don't want to refer to the specifics of the Canton one because I don't know, to be honest, what actually happened over there. But I'd be curious to hear whether you think that'll change at any time. If you see any signs of hope, I think it's gonna get worse. You think it's going to get worse?
Yeah, I think it's going to get worse for a while. And I'll tell you why I say that. I think Douglas Murray is pretty spot on with this. He argues that because there's this interesting rise of the right that's happening globally, and I'm using the term very broadly now, because I know that saying right or the right tends to come with bad connotations, but I mean this in response to the rise of the left. Okay, simply it's just the counter response. Because of this rise of the right that's occurring globally, it's for some reason polarizing society even more. And the left is becoming more aggressive in its response, which is, you know, if Boris Johnson, for example, didn't win, this polarization wouldn't have been expanded. Does that make sense? So as you see more of these types of people coming into positions of political power, you're certainly going to see this weird counterculture that's growing. And here's the weird thing. A few years ago, I would have been on the side of counterculture because it's cool and hip and trendy and yeah, we're going to go against the establishment and go against the man. But here's the thing, it's all the wrong way around now. The man almost seems like the victim in a lot of these cases. If you look at Hong Kong, for example, I'm on the side of the protesters, which is kind of weird because in most instances I'm on the side of the man, and now it's swapped because their protests are actually pretty decent. They're well orchestrated.
They're non-violent, mostly.
They're non-violent, and what they're wanting essentially is just independence and capitalism, and that's a pretty cool protest to have, I think. But yet, when we have protests, I'm always like, yeah, beat them up. Let's get the cops in because they're always destroying everything. Yeah. So like, the Hong Kong protests know how to. The protesters know how to do it, and so therefore you become. You become sympathetic to their cause.
Well, I've
and
felt,
it's weird because I'm not sympathetic to the woke wars at all.
Yeah, you know, I've sort of felt a sea change also when it comes to someone like Donald Trump, because certainly in the beginning, I was one of those people who joined in when it came to beating up on Trump and saying what an idiot he was and his hair is ridiculous and he's orange and he's got bad ideas and he's an egomaniac and all of that stuff's still true. But I find myself like completely convinced now, where in the past I would have thought that this stuff was conspiracy theory and I would have thought that the people who espoused it were lunatics. Now I find myself utterly convinced that the media are in on this game, that the media are working for the left, and that the candidates on the left are some of the most dreadful people that you could possibly imagine, which makes, by contrast, Donald Trump look good. I never thought I would have said this 2.5 years ago.
But you're still being very PC in what you're saying. Let me tell you why. Sorry for saying that. But I don't know if you've seen Hoaxed, a documentary that came out by Mike Cernovich a few months ago.
No.
If you haven't, I'll send you the details. It is absolutely brilliant, okay? And in it, he interviews a bunch of people, including Jordan Peterson and Scott Adams of Dilbert and you name it, okay? And he goes undercover with the Veritas Project. And how they show absolute bias against Trump at CNN, for example. And then we're talking behind-the-scenes stuff, how they deliberately state that they're not interested in facts. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think Trump is one of the greatest presidents in U.S. history. And let me tell you why I say that. Not for his politics. And let's be honest here. The American economy is not terrible. It's doing fairly decently under Trump. I mean, jobs are good. There seems to be a pretty good patriotism that's grown again in the U.S. People are not as ashamed of being American as perhaps what they were under Bush and Obama. But Trump is actually anti this sort of woke establishment. And he represents the fight in the culture war, not the political war. I mean, he hasn't really expanded actual wars. I mean, remember, Obama expanded Bush's war campaigns. Mm-hmm. Trump hasn't really done that. In fact, if anything, he's returned a few of the troops, which also upset everybody on the left.
Right.
They first complained that the troops must come back. Then he brought the troops back, and then they complained.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he can't win, and this is why I'm liking him, because he has no filter. He's completely unstatesmanlike, which, you know, you'll be remembered as that president who was a bit zeff. But on the face of it, he's just completely overturned the media establishment and the regressive leftist crowd globally. Nobody knows how to respond to him. His tweets are hilarious trolling. He knows what he's doing. He's not stupid. And yet everybody says that he's stupid, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah,
that's why I like him.
And they say the same things. They say all of that stuff about Boris as well, right? It's almost like there's only one defense against this stuff, and that is to ridicule the person who's doing it.
Exactly. And here's the thing with Boris. I still think Boris is too light on Brexit. I'm quite keen for a hard Brexit. So for me, a soft Brexit is a bit like, you know, friends with benefits. It's all cool and sexy and sounds great in the short term, but in the long term, it's going to bite you in the ass.
Well, that's right. Only if you've got a wife.
So, I mean,
yeah. Bulelo wants to ask you something or wants to add something to this. Go ahead.
Germ, two questions. Bulelo here. So I wanted to know that there's a clear difference, and I thought I identified as left until I ran into work culture. Turns out I'm probably more centralist, but you know, I identify as left. Do you think it is an uprising of the right or a complete collapse of the left? Because I think the two are different. That's my first question to you. And then you can maybe just answer both. And then secondly, as somebody who is into social commentary, what do you think it is that has obsessed us with sort of identity politics? And what does that do to your work? Is that good or bad for you as somebody who wants to commentate on society, if that question makes sense? So I'd love to hear your take on those two.
Cool, man. Well, your first question is really interesting. I don't know. It's probably a bit of both. I mean, look, Jordan Peterson, again, made the great comment some time back. He said, you've got to ask why this rise of the right is occurring. It's not just happening for no reason at all.
Agreed.
It can't just occur. Mm. You know, if things were happening great on the left, then nobody would suddenly counter that. So there's some weird collective homogenization of almost – you know, this stuff is not evidence based, but you kind of would agree with me if I said that people voted for Trump not because they wanted Trump, but because they didn't want Hillary, if that makes sense. It's almost like a counterculture. A counterculture, if that makes sense. Counterculture. Mm. It's going against this weird kind of leftist bullying, and it's a kind of bullying that's happening from the left, where people are getting labeled and called names and being cancelled. Everything is about being cancelled and being labeled things. If people don't like your opinion on something, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're a sexist, you're a whatever it might be. I've been told by my own cartoonist colleagues. Literally, I've been told that I'm a sexist, I'm a racist. In fact, I mean, EWN's cartoonist said to me over the phone that I mustn't criticize black cartoonists. I mean, how patronizing is that?
That's ridiculous.
Okay? It's because I'm speaking from a position of white privilege. And so therefore my criticism is...
Can I ask you something? Because you've gone all in. I mean, like, you've thrown all your pens and your pencils and your paintbrushes into this. And you've been interviewing people who are on your show are largely discredited even by objective people. And I mean, I understand that even those people should be given a space to talk. I mean, I'm not afraid to interview anybody. Yeah. And one of the reasons I'm happy to have you on is because we disagree on quite a lot, even though we agree on some things. You've had people on, like, who's that woman, that British woman that you had on not so long ago?
Katie Hopkins.
Now, people really don't have anything nice to say about her. Even very moderate, very sensible people who are not particularly opinionated, and she's been outrageous in her condemnation and criticism of much of what goes on in British politics, but also here in our own country.
Yeah.
So you've almost thrown your lot in with the conspiracy theorists and the right-wing nuts and those kind of people. Are you feeling that in some way might prejudice you even more with people who liked you but now consider you beyond the pale?
Well, I'm kind of glad about that in a way. I mean, Peter Boghossian, again, on my show, he said to me, you know, instead of rejecting people, hear what they have to say, because here's the thing, Gareth.
That's the basis of his whole book.
Everybody thinks that they're correct. Remember this. Okay, this is very important. Everybody thinks that they're correct.
Yeah.
I think I'm correct. You think you're correct. Nobody chooses to be incorrect. Okay, you hold a position because you think that it's the superior position.
Right.
And so with that in mind, okay, that immediately should humble you to some degree and then wonder – How is it that person arrived at that perspective? How did Katie Hopkins arrive at this kind of aggressive anti-immigrant position that she's got? Mm-hmm. She genuinely thinks that she's not racist. She genuinely thinks that her position is valid.
Yeah.
So for me, it's quite interesting to figure out how that happened. I mean, I had Mark Sargent on my show. He's like pretty much the leader of the world's flat earth movement. And he's got a show on Netflix. And it's the most bizarre conversation you'll ever have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, any sane person can't agree with him. But I'm not sure if he believes this, but I'm going to assume that he believes what he's saying. Okay. I don't know if he's one mega troll.
Yeah.
But there definitely are people that believe this wholeheartedly. And I'm going to assume that he believes it because he's fully into it. He's got his shows and books and everything. And he argues it. And he knows that it's ridiculous. And he says, "This is ridiculous." He says, "I thought the same thing." So yes, you might go, "Well, you've thrown your lot in with all these nutcases."
Yeah.
But because the general trend is to shut them down and not give them a chance, I'm interested in actually hearing how they got to that. I agree with them. It doesn't mean that I'm suddenly on their side.
I'm not opposed to your point of view here at all. In fact, I'm not even sure what your point of view is, but I think it's right to give everyone an airing. I think it's wrong to ban people. I think it's wrong to cancel people. I also think it's wrong to label people a priori and not give them a chance to explain their position. I don't mind having lunatics on here. I've had psychics on my show who are obviously frauds. But sometimes they're very entertaining frauds, and it doesn't mean that I'm agreeing with them just by having them on. I mean, if that were true, then we would never ever hear any opinion other than our own. You'd only have people on who reinforced your point of view, which is stupid.
But that's how you fight back in a culture war, Gareth. That's it. All kind of circles back to that first point I was making about it being a culture war. Is that you either have conversations, because what is the most powerful way of persuading people to change their view on something?
Mm-hmm.
It's to have a conversation. It's not to shout at them. It's not to label them.
If the mainstream media are only putting on people who support their own position, and if they are only letting on people who echo their own point of view, then eventually people who do want to have a little bit more nuanced an approach to things or don't want to be proselytized and propagandized to, they'll find that content elsewhere. Thank God for the internet.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, Craig. Now, I just want to quickly get to that second question. I'm just trying to, trying to remember what it was
back
again.
Back to Mbulula's second question.
So I just wanted to know how the obsession with
identity
politics shapes your work. Yeah,
It's good for my work. I mean, I'm in the to be very honest, I'm in the best position I've been in my entire career. hang on a sec. I'm in the best position I've been. I thoroughly enjoy my work. I have the greatest clients. I really, really am enjoying the space that I'm in at the moment. And the great thing is that people in the sort of social media space think that I'm in the worst position I've been in because I've mostly left the mainstream, and that's great. Let them think that.
Right.
But it's also, look, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, identity politics is great because it gives me constant material, but it's also sad because it's certainly showing me that, and I wish I knew why this has happened. I'd love to see people's research on this eventually, but for some weird reason, there's this mega increase in identity sort of collectivist cultural politics that's occurring, and it's not just in South Africa, it's worldwide. People have adopted this idea of attributing characteristics to you based on superficial attributes, which is the very definition of racism or sexism. You can't possibly be wealthy or prosperous because you're black, and so therefore you must be poor and disadvantaged, and it removes any kind of experience or skill that you might have as an individual. The same thing happens to you if you're a woman. Because you're a woman, you are oppressed by the patriarchy, whatever that means, because no one has as yet defined it. Mm. But you're nevertheless oppressed, and you earn less for the same work, even though there's no evidence of this anywhere. I know women pilots, and they earn the same as men pilots. My wife's a vet. She earns actually more in many examples than her male colleagues. This is weird collectivist mindset that's happening globally, and this is identity politics, and it's actually, excuse the pun, but it's trumping reality. And again, I think that's a big factor in what caused Trump's win. It's a big factor in what caused Boris's win, because Boris's win is more about symbolism, I think, about the UK's sort of independence than it is about Boris Johnson's politics. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but I'm pretty convinced it's a lot more than simple politics. I mean, this was the biggest victory since, I think, Thatcher?
Probably. I mean, Jerm, you've
certainly for the Tories, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You've brought up a great point.
Yeah.
We're in a state, as a leftist, once again, I'm unapologetic. I am left and I'm a softie. We've entered something called hypernormalization. And if you haven't seen Adam Curtis's film, he surmises it's a term from the USSR, hypernormalization. So I'll let you go and look that up in your time. But we have entered where it's decaying on the left to a point where we have to be more aggressive in public to pretend that things aren't as bad in the background. You know, this obsession with, I want to express my opinion as an individual, but I'm not willing to deal with the consequences of that as an individual, is a very interesting and for me on the left, that's where it's been. They want to say all of this and, you know, I'm oppressed, I'm this, I'm that. But then they don't want to deal with the consequences of their words because they think their opinion's special. Nobody's opinion's special. And that has been the degeneration of the left for me. They're like, they can't accept any critique.
Well, listen, two. I mean, I'd love to carry this on, and Jerm, we'll talk to you in the new year. But I thought that it would be interesting, because this is our last show of the year, to have the perspective of somebody who's dealing with current affairs every day. And you know, I like your take on a lot of this stuff. But it's always good to catch up, dude. And have a happy Christmas and New Year. We've got to get out of here. So thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, cool, man. Cheers, Gareth.
All right, my man. There we go. Jeremy Nell, the cartoonist. Some interesting opinions. He's really had, he says, the best year ever in his personal, in his professional career. And he's working with people he really wants to work with. But a lot of people disagree with him, and that's absolutely fine. I find myself doing that from time to time. Let's spend 2020 worrying less about whether we agree or disagree with people and actually paying attention to what's going on around us and trying to find the opinions that differ from ours. Those are the ones who will hopefully interest us the more as we proceed into a new decade. And I do hope that the new year is going to bring everybody a little bit of happiness, excitement, joy, delight. I always believe that the next year is going to be better than the one that we're in. And that's certainly my opinion going into the next year. We will be back here on the 6th, which is the day that I'll start. But Pinky and Bulelo and Dory and the rest of the crew here will keep you entertained on the 2nd and the 3rd. So if you're feeling like you need to have some fun, then next Monday and Tuesday are going to be all about those shows. They're going to have some music. They're going to have some fun here. They've got some stuff planned. And I will be back on the 6th along with the rest of the team, Sia and the crew. So enjoy the rest of your holidays. Happy holidays. Happy Christmas. Whatever it is that you celebrate over this time, I hope that it's awesome. Spend it with people you really want to be with. Have some fun. Let your hair down. Pinky, enjoy the Shabeen.
Thank you, Gareth.
What can I say?
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa to you. Mbulelo, I hope you don't just do fit and productive things, because otherwise you make the rest of us feel like we're underachievers, and then we'll hate you in the new year.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Yeah, happy birthday to Jesus. All right, everybody, be good, and we will see you in 2020.
When you try your best, but you don't succeed. CliffCentral.com